Verse 17, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your own body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body. Lord, I pray that you'll be with this entire service, Lord, as we come to worship you. I pray that you'll teach us. Lord, teach us to put you first in everything, like we would a spouse, putting no others before you. And I pray that you'll touch everyone here as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think the text for today is kind of interesting. And if you read it, you just say, well, it's just talking about being free from sin. But there's so much more to it. And I hope that I hope that you follow along today. We're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures. And so if you don't have a Bible, pick one off of the chair in front of you. And if you need one, we can get somebody to get you one, because there's other Bibles around. Follow along, because it's a very interesting text. Let's read it together. Romans 6, verses 5, 6, and 7 today. For if we have become united, and I want to add the word joined there, if we have been united or joined with him in his likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. For those who have died have been freed from sin. That's a really cool thought. I have a book about this thick, and it's Chuck Swindoll. He's been preaching for years, and there's a lot of quotes in there that he's used, and I have a definition of unity that he has that I want to just talk to you a little bit about. Union has an affiliation with others, but no common bond that makes them one in heart. Uniformity has everyone looking and thinking alike. Uniformity. Are we being uniform? Are we all uniform today? Certainly not. Unanimity. I'm not even sure if I can say that. Is it up there? Yeah, unanimity. There we go. Is complete agreement across the board. Are we there? No, we're not. Unity, however, what we're going to talk about today. Unity refers to a oneness of heart and a similarity of purpose, and an agreement on major points of doctrine. So today we're going to talk about you being united with Christ, and therefore being freed from sin. Being united with Christ, and then being freed from sin. Let's pray. Lord, I want to pray that you will just penetrate our hearts today as we look into your word. Teach us to follow you in all of our ways. Amen. The Bible talks so much about marriage and how we need to keep the marriage bed pure and honorable. Our call to worship today, if you want to, you're not going to look back to 1 Corinthians because you're in Romans, I trust. But it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Our bodies are members of Christ. We're united with Christ. And then verse 16 to 17, it says, for he says, the two shall become one flesh. The two shall become one flesh, being united. And then it says, listen to this very carefully, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one with him in spirit. If you're joined with the Lord, you are one with Him in spirit. To say yes to Jesus and believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you are united with Him, one in purpose with Jesus Christ. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 5. There's 11 verses in here. It's a little bit lengthy, and it talks about marriage, but there's more to it. And I hope that you pay attention all the way through, because the last couple of verses, there's a little bit of a turn, a little bit of a twist to it. Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, listen to this, as Christ is the head of the church. For He Himself, being Savior of the body, but as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. How did Jesus love the church? Somebody, help me out. Huh? He was crucified. He gave Himself. 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16, 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus gave of Himself, and we have to do the same thing for our brothers and sisters, it says. 1 John 3:16, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, so that we might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, that He might present to Himself the church in her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own body loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of His body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Listen to verse 32. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. See, it's talking about marriage, 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 marriage. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And then it says, it's not talking about marriage. It's talking about Jesus and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you must also is to love his own wife as himself, and the wife must see too that she respects her husband. The body of Christ, the church, and marriage are talked about like they are the same. If you profess to know Jesus as Lord of your life, and if you professed that Jesus died and was raised again on the third day, then we ought to honor Him. Honoring Him above all else, just like you are taught to do with your spouse. Honoring your spouse above all else. Last week we talked about walking in the newness of life. Because we have died to ourselves, we get to live in this new life. We identify with Christ in His death and His resurrection. Newness of life. So today as we go through this text, I want you to think about your relationships, all the different relationships we have. Your marriage, number one. Your children. Your church family and your friends. And then as you think about those people, think about what Scripture is saying, and it's talking about honoring God and honoring your marriage vows as it relates to us living in sin. We talked about living in sin last week. We are dead to sin. That does not mean that we don't sin, but are you living in sin? If you're living in sin, it's like you are prostituting yourself. That's pretty strong words. It's like we are prostituting ourselves and we're selling ourselves to somebody as cheap as Satan. We're selling ourselves. Satan has come to kill and destroy. But Jesus came to what? To give us life. John 10:10. The thief comes only to kill and destroy. And I came that they might have life and have it abundantly to the fullest. I think it's interesting in the Old Testament, the prophet Hosea, and if you don't believe what I'm about to say, you need to go home and look it up. I don't remember how many chapters it is. Bible scholars, maybe 10, 12 chapters. It's not a real short one, but God told Hosea to go marry a prostitute. Why on earth would God tell a prophet to do such a thing? He did it simply to show the Israelite people that that's what they were doing. They went out, God has chosen them, and the people went out and chose other gods. They were prostituting their faith in God, Jehovah, the creator of everything. And they prostituted themselves. And that's what we do when we live in sin. You say that you know Jesus, but we live in sin. I think it's interesting that married couples, the longer we live with each other, the more we become with each other. Isn't that true? We look like each other, and we act like each other, and we think like each other. We experience each other. We bought a home or two together. We dream together. We hang wallpaper. Well, maybe not that. Have you ever tried hanging wallpaper with your wife? How many men? Okay, there's a couple of us fools, yeah. No? You haven't, huh? You learned ahead, right? Yeah. We live life together. We've been together through struggles. We've raised our kids together. And we become like-minded. Why? Because we've experienced each other. And that's the same way it is with Jesus Christ. We experience Him, and we need to be like Him, and we need to be like-minded because we've experienced life with Him. We know and understand Him. Look at Hebrews 4:14-16. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, and yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We need to experience Jesus. Friends, we need to experience Him in our life. The second verse, Romans 6:6, says, "Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin." Paul makes a very clear distinction here that we do not, it's not just our sinful nature that we hand over to Him. It's not just, it's all of us. It's our whole body. Our body, soul, and mind. Everything we hand over to Him. Not just our sinful nature. So can you say, "I have crucified with Christ my sin, and I, Bruce Miller," put your own name in there, "I, Bruce Miller, have crucified, been crucified with Him." Put yourself on the cross. Live like Jesus has died for you. "I have been crucified with Christ and all of my sins. And I live with Him today. And I'm getting to know Him better and better and better." Abraham Lincoln in 1863 wrote the Emancipation Proclamation. I learned something this week. How many history buffs do we have? Okay. Do you know anything about the Emancipation Proclamation? You forgot about it. Okay, does anybody know what it means? What was it? He freed the slaves. Something I found out, though, when he wrote that, it wasn't to free all the slaves. It was only to free the slaves in the states that were seceding from the Union. Just those, five states? Just those. And it wasn't until 3 years later that the 14th Amendment was presented and passed to free all the slaves. Jesus died for all of us, that we might be freed from sin. If you are a slave to something or someone, you are under their control. You are under their control. And if you are a slave to sin, you are under sin's control. And we need to die to sin, be crucified with Him, be one with Jesus. Be one with Him in spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the Shepherd and Guardian of your souls. We have returned to Him. Verse 7, Romans 6, verse 7, for he who has died is freed from sin. We know that, don't we? Have you died to yourself? Have you died to yourself? If you have identified yourself with Christ, you no longer need to sin. You no longer need to sin. You have conquered sin. It's your choice. Oh, you will sin, you will fail. We are humans, we are sinners, but do not live in sin. Do not live in sin. One text in closing today, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Are you looking forward to heaven? I can't wait. But if you have become one with Christ, you'll spend eternity with Him. Amen. Benediction today is just one verse. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. I can't wait till I get to heaven. That's our goal. That's our hope. Amen. Have a good week.